Blog Talk Radio.
Out at foggy midfield, muddy midfield, although they've done a heck of a job getting the field ready, they just tossed the coin. To start the proceedings.
Over back, looking left, looking in, he's going to go long down the left side, there he is, and it is caught, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jason Crew.
Welcome to the Nothing But Sports Show on NBS Central Radio, hosted by Jay Franchise, Yvonne Maddox, and Truex the Sports Junkie, where they give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
So help us God.
What's good? What's good? What's good to everybody in Sports Talk America? I'm here with an NBS Central exclusive interview, but before I get into who we're going to interview, I got my co-host with me, another big-time NBS Central co-host, my boy Mike. What's going on, Big Mike, from the most dangerous city in America, Las Vegas?
What's good, everyone? I am hailing out of the most dangerous city, Las Vegas, but it is also the greatest city on earth, the entertainment capital of the world. What's up, everyone? It's Big Mike from Las Vegas.
All right, so with that being said, y'all already know who I am. I'm Mr. Franchise. So with that being said, I have a special guest on the line. He's a former University of Auburn running back and the second overall pick in the 2005 NFL draft, Ronnie Brown. What's going on, Ronnie? How you doing?
What's going on, boss man? I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain.
Oh, man, that's what's up, man. I see you in the sunny skies of Florida, man, so you must be enjoying life.
Nah, man, I wish I was. I'm back home now. I'm in Atlanta, so it's a little cold and,
okay,
and wet right now, but, you know, I take it. You know, it's home, so nothing like home.
Oh, that's absolutely right. So let's go ahead and get started. So at what age did you start playing football?
I started playing football when I was 6 years old.
Oh, wow. What was that like? Like, did you start playing at running back at six, or did you play, like, multiple positions?
Yeah, man. When I first started playing, I had an older brother. So he was always in the sport. You know, he wrestled. He played football. He played baseball. So he did everything. So I just kind of fed off his lead and just fell into sports, you know, along the neighborhood, guys playing, and I always loved playing football, and my parents, it was just natural for them to put me in. So they put me in, you know, I always been a running back. It's funny because when I was small, I was one of the smallest guys out there on the field. So I grew up and, you know, fortunately I gained a little weight, got a little height to me. But, yeah, man, I always been a running back.
Oh, wow, that's pretty tight. That's pretty tight. So, why did you choose the University of Auburn after having a very solid high school career?
You know what, man? When I came into the recruiting process, you know, it was, you know, it can be stressful, especially nowadays with, you know, the formula that they use and, you know, all the rankings and all of this stuff. So, fortunately for myself, it wasn't like that. So, you know, I just kind of leaned to the teams that came the most, and I knew I wanted to play in the SEC. I knew it was competitive, and I knew that was somewhere I wanted to be. And, you know, in order to be amongst the great players, you got to play in the same conference. So I always felt that, you know, obviously that one, that's close to home. Two, that's a competitive conference. So I'm a Georgia guy, and I always grew up liking Georgia. Garrison Hurst was one of my favorite players, you know. So, but it was just unfortunate, I guess, a lot of people from my high school tended to go to Georgia just to go to school, and I wanted to do something different. I wanted to pave my own path, and so I initially committed to Tennessee. And just some reason, when I went to Auburn, the town that I'm from, it's a small town, I just felt at home in Auburn, and I ended up changing my mind, and I ended up just going to Auburn.
Oh, man, that's pretty tight. So that's pretty tight. So what was it like playing alongside Cadillac Williams in that star-studded Auburn backfield that went 13-0?
It was great. You know, for one, I think the reason it worked out so well is because Carnell and myself, we had a great relationship off the football field and a great deal of respect for one another. So that made it easy to go in and sit in a meeting room with a guy like that, you know, both of us, you know, realizing that we were trying to obtain the same goal. And in order for us to do that, you know, by the means of both being successful, we could obviously be successful on the football field and individually. And the more success we had as a team, you know, it accumulated more, attraction for the both of us. So it was great working with him. He's a great guy, a great teammate. So it all worked out, and we were able to, you know, go on, and we still talk to this day. He spoke earlier. And so it's just a great relationship that evolved, you know, not on the football field, but it was a great deal of respect that we had for one another's game.
Man, that speaks volumes about that speaks a lot to you guys' success, because, you know, you don't normally see great running backs, you know, like the dual threat running backs, especially in college. But you guys did it so well, man. And Jason Campbell was, you know, he was a very accurate quarterback, but that running game was just monstrous at that time. Like, I felt like y'all were picking people apart at will while y'all were in college. So for all the college football fans out there that are listening and whatnot, can you tell me what it's like to play in the SEC? Like, what is it like playing SEC-type football?
I wish I could put it in the words so they could really get, you know, an understanding of how it really is. But I guess you would say, respectively, if you're in a city that has a professional team, it's kind of like going to a professional game with maybe 20, 30 more thousand people. And then you got to add on top of that the entertainment of, you know, maybe the student sections and, you know, a younger crowd. So, you know, it's exciting. For me, I guess for me to be able to put it in the words, you know, you go, you see guys or people, individuals tailgating the day before the game or, you know, a couple hours before the kickoff. But an SEC game, let's just say if it's an Auburn, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, you know, Auburn, Florida, one of those big games, people tend to show up maybe the Sunday, Monday prior to the game, and the game's not until Saturday. So you'll see RVs, people camping out, all on campus for a whole week before the game, and it's nothing like it. Like, you know, I was fortunate and I was blessed enough to play in the NFL for 10 years, but, you know, like I said, there's nothing like being able to, you know, duplicate that atmosphere.
Okay. So after being drafted with this – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. So Ronnie Brown, tell me what the draft process was like. You know, bring us in the world that you were living in at that time. Was there a lot of hype around you? Did you know you were going to be drafted high? And did the Dolphins, did they specifically tell you that they were going to take you if you were available at that at their pick?
You know what? That was a great experience that I had, you know, dealing with the whole draft process. You know, I try to pride myself on being a humble individual, and I feel just the way that I've grown up and, you know, some of the things I've been able to accomplish and along with, you know, with the way I grew up, my background and the way that I was raised, you know, nothing's really been given to me. So I don't really expect any handouts or anything like that. So the draft process, it was weird for me because, you know, like you said, I played alongside Carnell Williams, but, you know, I think everybody really focused on him and, you know, going into the season, respectively. So, you know, he was a pretty special guy, a running back. So I didn't really get the same kind of attention, which was, you know, that could have been a good thing. And, you know, so floating under the radar. But, you know, he came in, he was up for the Heisman. So going into that whole process, you know, my agent and I, we talked about it, and we were talking about the draft and going up to New York and, you know, we felt like it was a great opportunity. But for myself, I was nervous about going because, you know, I never thought of myself as being, you know, a number two pick. I just was a backup running back at Auburn. And, you know, I had some success. We had a lot of team success, you know, that year. So I was just kind of playing it by ear. And, you know, my agent encouraged me to go, and it was a great opportunity. So I went up to New York. I brought my parents and a lot of family members. And it was awesome being from a small town in Georgia, letting my parents get to have that experience and me getting to watch them have that experience. You know, that was the biggest thing for me because I pride myself on family and, you know, those relationships. And just to see my family get a chance to have that experience, you know, that did it for me. I could have gone, you know, wherever because, you know, just for me to get an opportunity to play in the NFL was good with me. But for me to have that experience and then be the number two pick, which was also something that I hadn't expected, you know, being in the draft room, you know, when the number two pick came after they drafted Alex Smith, I'm looking at Braylon Edwards' phone across, you know, across a few tables across, and I'm expecting his phone to ring. I'm thinking, you know, I'm not going to be the number two draft pick. Little kid from Cartersville, Georgia, that's not going to be me. And lo and behold, my agent taps me. He says, hey, I got Nick Saban on the phone. I'm like, stop playing. Like, you know, this isn't a time to joke. And he's like, no, really, he wants to talk to you. And it was just a blessing, man, you know, just to have that experience, to be in New York, be invited to the draft, and, you know, be able to share that with the people that I love.
That's awesome.
Oh, man, that's pretty tight. So before I get to before we move along, what was it like playing for Nick Saban?
It was actually cool. The thing about him, I think everybody realizes it because I think now they notice his formula for success is pretty high. But, you know, I think he's the great part about him, he's meticulous about everything that he does, you know, from what he eats for breakfast when he comes in the office and the way that we do things. And, you know, he has a plan for everything that he does, and he sticks to it. And, you know, unfortunately, he's at the other school down in Alabama. And, you know, he just goes in. I think he knows the kind of guys that he wants on his team. He knows what he's looking for, the kind of coaches. And he has a system that he's going to run. He's not going to find the guy that may run the West Coast system and does it very well. You know, he's going to find the guy that runs his system and going to buy into what he's trying to do as a coach and a head coach and a leader of a football team. So, in respect to that, you know, my hat's off to him. He's a straight-up guy. He, you know, he always shot it straight to me. And he knows a lot about football. So there was a respect factor. And then, you know, when I was in Auburn, he was at LSU. So there was a great deal of respect from that point of view as well. So, you know, I have a great deal of respect for him. I appreciate what he did in terms of drafting me and having, you know, looking at me at a certain way and to be able to draft me and put me in that position. You know, my hat's off to him, and I appreciate him. I got a great deal of respect for him.
Okay.
No doubt.
So after being drafted with the second overall pick by the Dolphins, you played alongside another very prolific running back by the name of Ricky Williams. Tell me what was that like?
You know, that was fun, man, because when I was at Auburn, Ricky was one of my favorite guys, you know, watching him run and the things he accomplished at Texas. You know, he was one of the best guys that I've seen play the position, you know, in terms of me being older and being able to appreciate the art of running back. And the things that I saw him do on the football field and just to be able to be alongside of Ricky, and we also formed a great deal of respect for one another and, you know, a great relationship. You know, like we were saying earlier about Carnell, Cadillac, Ricky also became a great friend. We still speak occasionally. And, you know, both of those guys were in my wedding. So, you know, it was a great deal of respect for the both of them. And just being able to kind of feed off of what he did and kind of pick his brain about how he looked at things. You know, I think a lot of people look at Ricky as being a different guy, which he is. And I think that's a positive. We were all put here to be, you know, who we are respectively, and nobody was, you know, supposed to be like the next person. So he does things his own way. He reads a lot. He travels a lot. He's one of the brightest individuals I've ever been around. So just looking at some of the stuff he did on the football field, off the football field as well, in terms of reading and traveling, those were things that I liked about him. And we just got a great relationship from the beginning. And, you know, for a young guy being a rookie coming in, he accepted me, and, you know, he always was trying to help me out. So I have a, you know, like I said about Nick, I have a great deal of respect for Ricky as well, and he was one of my favorite guys that I've, or my favorite teammates that I've ever played alongside of, and he's probably one of the nicest guys that you'll ever meet.
It's insane that the Dolphins had you and Ricky Williams at the same time. That's just insane how they were able to have both great running backs at one time. So your time with the Dolphins, definitely your best years. You had some really great years here. That offense brought the Wildcat to the NFL, which was something like brand new. I'm pretty sure that it was brought to life against the Patriots. Week three, I forget which season that was, but I know it was early. So what was it like when it was brought into practice, you know, when the coach mentioned it, you know, brought it into the game plan, how much preparation was needed, and pretty much how fun was it? Because it looked like a super fun type of offense. So bring us into that.
Man, you know, the thing I'll tell you about that was at practice putting that in. Well, I'll go to the beginning. When we were trying to introduce it in the meeting room, and Coach asked, would anyone be interested in being the quarterback in this new formation? And I've never played quarterback before besides being in Pee Wee League and, you know, getting a snap and just taking off running around the corner. I never played quarterback. So the first thing in my mind, I've never played quarterback, but I got to – opportunity to play quarterback on the NFL level. You can't beat that. So I shot my hand up. Like, so I'm like, I'll do it. Like, you know, it's exciting for me. So, you know, we put it in practice. And the funny story about that, it did not work probably but once at all. And the defensive guys were ragging us. And they were like, y'all need to throw this out. This isn't going to work. This gimmicky thing that y'all are doing. And it never worked. And I think part of that was because we were game planning it. So we were putting the defense in a good position to be successful, to try to give the offense, you know, as bad as look as we could. And it worked. And so when we were in New England and they were like, all right, we're going to put it in. And when they called it, everybody was like, uh-oh. So now I'm like, all right, I'm in the huddle. I'm like, you know what, I got to be the quarterback. This is going to fall on me. Let's make this thing work, because if it doesn't, everybody's going to look at us and we're not going to be able to do it again. So we put it in, and the success we had, it was amazing, and it caught fire, and, you know, I guess the rest is history.
No doubt. That's awesome. That's awesome. Just bringing, like, we can only imagine, you know, how fun it was, and you bringing it, you know, explaining it, that's great for all the fans, for all of us, to hear from you. So the Patriots were obviously, you know, one of the greatest teams in this era. Is that your favorite team to play against? Was that the deepest rivalry? What was your favorite team to play against in your time in the NFL?
I would have to say that it was the Patriots, not because not only being our rival game, like, you know, besides the Jets, but just because when you knew you played against Belichick and the Patriots, you knew they were going to be well-prepared and you were going to get their best effort, and not only from the players but from the coaches' aspect as well. So you knew you had to be on top of your game in order to be successful against those guys up there. And, you know, we had a great deal of respect for them, but at the same time, we wanted to beat them because they were pretty much, you know, the guys that everyone in the league was looking at in terms of how to do it and being successful. So, you know, we had a great deal of success against those guys, but at the same time, they were the team at the top of the totem pole that everybody was shooting for and trying to knock that top team off the mountain. That was New England at the time.
Nice. So we're going to fast forward a little bit. You know, we were talking about early 2000s, but we're going to fast forward to now, right now. The playoffs have been great so far. You know, the wild card playoffs have just ended last weekend. Divisional round starts this weekend. So we'll start with the first game. Patriots and Chiefs, who do you have in that game, and who's your X factor?
You know what? I picked in the Patriots and Chiefs game, when it comes down to coaching, I would like to say Belichick. Andy Reid, you know, I was fortunate enough to play for him as well. But Belichick does things so unorthodox that, you know, everybody, they'll throw little things out there and everybody's like, well, all right, the Patriots are down or the Patriots don't have this. And they're just feeding information to people, I think, scientifically or just enough for people to think and just kind of take their focus off what's actually going on and what's the most important thing. And the way they handle it is so amazing. So I'd have to pick Kansas City. I mean, I'd have to pick New England. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's fine. And it's interesting what you said about, like, feeding information. There's been a lot of reports about Chandler Jones, injuries to Gronk and Edelman and Brady. And it, to me, I don't really believe any of it. I think everyone's ready. I think everyone's focused. Obviously, the Chandler Jones thing, I don't think you can't fake that. But with Gronk being injured, Edelman, I think they're all 100% and ready to go. So what you're saying about Belichick playing head games, that very well could be what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Every year you see when New England, when it gets to playoff time, you always see all the players at the bottom of the screen on the injury report. It's like, okay.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you get a guy like Gronk who's been on the injury report for 3 weeks come out and have 150 yards and three touchdowns. You're like, hey, man, I thought this man was injured. That's just
right,
how
you're
they
supposed
do,
to only be, you're only supposed to be playing 30 snaps or something. But yeah.
Yeah.
The second AFC game, Broncos and Steelers, Antonio Brown's out, Ben Roethlisberger's hurt, D'Angelo Williams, who filled in really nice for Le'Veon Bell, he's out. Who do you have in that game?
You know, initially, that Pittsburgh was my surprise Super Bowl team. But unfortunately, part of the NFL has to deal with injuries because I feel like they have the best receiving corps in the NFL. And as a whole, and Ben, you know, obviously just him having the, you know, being able to just have the experience and been there before and being calm. And, you know, he had a bad game a few weeks ago, but he's Ben Roethlisberger, and nobody expects that to happen, you know, week after week. So that was my surprise team. But just dealing with the injuries and, you know, these guys out, Ben's shoulders injured, Antonio Brown's out, probably the most exciting receiver in the league. It's hard to go with those guys now, so I have to go with Denver. And, you know, Peyton Manning coming back, he has that little chip on his shoulder that's continuing to grow. Everybody's counting him out, so.
Mm-hmm.
And then that defense, I have to go with Denver.
No doubt. And I'm actually one of the ones that is counting out Peyton Manning right now. I just think that his arm is done, man. It was just,
yeah,
I said it at the beginning of the year. Well, you were the same way. That's good. All right. Because there's a couple guys on our show. Maybe a couple weeks rest.
I don't know. That did him some good coming in.
Yeah. Definitely. So now moving on to the NFC, you got Seahawks and Panthers, which I think it should be hyped up a lot more than it is. I think this is going to be the best game of all of them, but it doesn't seem like it's getting a lot of coverage. Who do you have in that game? And
yeah,
who's your X factor?
Yeah, this is the toughest game because, you know, you look at Seattle and Carolina, not only just the bad blood, you know, they kind of, you know, talk a little bit back and forth here and there and throw little jabs at one another. But I think the matchup is a little better for this team. And depending on how Ted feels, you know, with the knee thing, I think the thing with Carolina is if they don't get those big plays and when you limit the plays down the field in terms of 30 or more yards, it's a little easier to beat those guys, i.e. when you watch them play against Atlanta that second time. So they match up a little bit better with Seattle than, you know, obviously Seattle played at Minnesota last week. So I'm leaning towards Seattle, but the way that Carolina just – they have that mojo this year, and they're finding a way to be successful. And I know they lost against the Falcons, but it's just something about that team. And some of the best teams I've been on hasn't really been about the – I guess so much the talent on the team, but it's how close-knit the football team is. And those guys seem like they have it the right way, and they care about each other. So it's going to be hard to beat that bond.
Mm-hmm. The only difference I think from this year and the other years that Seattle's been in is just the home field advantage. I feel like that might contribute to this game a lot. Seattle's had that home field advantage for a long time, for the past few years. And then the last NFC game, Packers and Cardinals. Cardinals have already smacked Packers a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago. Packers have looked really good in the have looked pretty good against the Redskins in the last week. So, what do you have in the Cardinals? Or, I mean, in the Cardinals Packers.
I would have to say the Cardinals, only because I picked those guys. I picked Pittsburgh and Arizona. Those are my two picks, and because I thought Arizona was the most complete football team, you know, going all around in terms of football team. But you know, obviously they've dealt with some injuries as well. And the Honey Badger is one of my favorite players throughout the league and his story and what he's gone through and how he's overcome. So it was just, you know, fitting to pick those guys and Carson Palmer coming back and all these things and him having success. But now at this point, I don't know. Aaron Rodgers played good last week, but as a football team, I'm going to go with Arizona. And, you know, like you said, they did smack them around not too long ago.
Yeah, I just don't think the Packers have a good enough O-line to protect Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers is a bad man. He's definitely a bad man, but if you can't protect him, I don't know what he's going to do. So you've already said the Cardinals are your NFC pick. If you're still sticking with that, who's your Super Bowl pick? I also had the Cardinals in there, so I agree with you on that. With the Steelers not making it this round, who do you have replacing them in the AFC?
You know what? I'm going to go New England and Arizona.
You're a smart man. You're definitely a smart man, that's for sure. I know our other hosts on here, True, and Yvonne, they'll be a little upset to hear you say that, but you're definitely a smart man. I think they have the Broncos going in. True has the Chiefs, Yvonne has the Broncos, but totally agree with you, and I'm glad that we see eye to eye on that one. And who do you have winning in it, Cardinals or Patriots?
Cardinal.
No doubt.
Carson Palmer.
Then you got a few more questions?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So we always ask all of our athletes this, and it's very interesting, you know, to find out about Mount Rushmores. So who is on your NFL running back Mount Rushmore?
Ooh, my Mount Rushmore. Jim Brown, Herschel Walker.
Mm.
Barry Sanders,
mm-hmm.
And I got to go with the alumnus, Bo Jackson.
Hey.
Wow, okay. Oh,
I love it. I love it. I'm a Raiders fan, Ronnie, so hearing you say Bo Jackson, that's awesome. I definitely wish he had played longer, that's for sure. He definitely would have had some records.
Yeah, I agree. He's probably the most athletic person that I've ever had a chance to kind of see or somewhat see.
Okay. So tell us about any volunteer work or philanthropy you may be involved with.
You know what? I'm actually in the process. I would like to start my own charity. I did some stuff when I was in Miami, but now being back home and having two kids myself, you know, I look to get involved in as much as I can. So if there's any opportunities where I can come be a part of something, you know, charity related, you know, I love to. But, you know, I just try to do as much as possible in terms of, you know, myself. You know, I try to open up because I know that's the important part of life. And especially, you know, being an athlete or a former athlete, you know, we all blessed with an opportunity to fulfill our dreams. And, you know, I think the biggest responsibility of that is trying to reach back and, you know, educate and motivate the younger youth or that they can obtain those goals no matter what background, you know, that you come from, no matter what color your skin is, you know, you still have, you know, an opportunity to be successful as long as you're willing to put in the work and having respect for not only yourself but the people around you. You know, everything's attainable.
Okay. So the final question I have for you is what advice do you have for aspiring football players who want to play in the NFL?
You know what? My biggest thing is take it one day at a time because there's so much stuff going around about when you're in middle school to try to get to the NFL or to look ahead and, you know, you can't wait to get to the pros. You got to enjoy the process. Everything's a process and, you know, you can't skip any level. You know, you got to go through it and you got to put in the work. So enjoy the moment. Respect the game, respect yourself, and just be willing to go to work and believe in your dream and, you know, just do everything that you need to do in terms of trying to accomplish that goal.
I love it. Mike, do you have any shout outs or anything real quick?
Shout out to Ronnie, of course, for coming in. Loved having you on. Definitely a great running back in NFL history. Really didn't like seeing you tear up my Raiders throughout the seasons, but you got to do what you got to do. so great to talk to you. Great insight on the playoffs and with your time with the Dolphins and the draft process. No, not a lot of people get to hear, you know, the average civilian, they don't get to hear or kind of experience what you've been through. So you giving us that insight, that's great for us and for everyone. So thank you for coming on.
No problem. All right,
Ronnie, do you have any shout-outs? Anybody you want to – anything you would like to add on in addition to what you said or what you said today?
Man, I just appreciate the opportunity. I enjoyed it. It was fun. And just looking forward to these playoffs and trying to keep sports so I have something to do and something to occupy me, because when football is over, it gets pretty boring. So
you thinking about going to broadcasting?
I would love to. I graduated in communications at Auburn and looking toward going down that path, obviously to stay around sports and keep myself entertained.
Definitely keep an eye out for you on the NFL Network or whatever.
Appreciate it.
All right. Hey, Ronnie, thank you for coming on. I just want to, you know, definitely appreciate you coming on the show. Appreciate your insight and whatnot. So with that being said, guys, for my co-host Mike, Ronnie Brown, it's your boy Jay Franchise signing off. Peace.